Recordings are started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a CCWG sub-team call on Monday, the 11th of January, 2016. On the call today, we have James Liddell, Keith Drazik, Phil Corwin, and Edward Morris. We have apologies listed from Paul McGrady and Marika Koning. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Glenn D. St. Jerry, Julie Hedlund, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, James.
Okay, thank you, Terry, and thanks, everyone. And for the record, this is a sub-team established by the GNSO Council to review the CCWG output. This is not a sub-team of the CCWG. Just that was a little ambiguous in your announcement and for the recording and transcript. Make sure that was clear. So thank you, everyone, for joining. And most importantly, thank you for taking away little chunks of this document and working it over the last week. And I appreciate that everyone was, you know, doing their best to get some stuff turned in while they were jumping between flights and typing on airports, and it's not it's something that's not lost on me in particular. I've been doing the same thing, and so I do appreciate how challenging that is, and thank you for your work on that. So we have a very rough draft of a document that stitches together all of our various conclusions. And I think what I'd like to do on the call today is just first have this discussion about what we've put together, and then secondly, have a discussion about how we want the call on Thursday in front of the full council to proceed. And there's some questions, and I think you see maybe you can see Wolf and Yolf also had some questions on the council list, and so it would be great if you had some thoughts on that as well, if you wanted to weigh in on those threads, as opposed to I don't want it to seem like I'm just making any arbitrary decisions on behalf of the sub-team. We want to make sure that everybody's okay with that direction. So, Lars, if you don't mind, if you could load the document, if you have received it. Yay?
James, I've only received the motion that I put up in the pod. I have not received any other document yet.
Okay. Not from me and not from Keith, correct?
Keith, I received Keith's email, and that had the motion on that I put up, but no additional document. Oh, hang on. Sorry. I've got it all. I put it up right now. It just came through.
Okay. Thank you, Lars.
And what was James, I received that document.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Phil, and we'll get that going. Thanks, Keith, for sending that over to Lars. So, again, what we're showing here is a motion refers to this matrix or this table, which just has very simply, you know, what is the sense of the sub-team on where the GNSO Council's unified position is on a particular recommendation, and then what comments, concerns, or conditions or qualifiers need to be attached to that recommendation when we send that to the CCWG co-chairs. And I think that this is good. This is going to be useful to sending that to, Thomas and Matteo and Leon. And I think that, you know, we've given them something that they can actually push off on in their work. Yolf made a comment on the list about whether or not we wanted to comment on some of the responses received from the board. And I think that, you know, we've been fairly consistent in saying that we're responding to the draft report and not any other comments that have come in from other groups, including the board. And I think that's important. Otherwise, we start to get into sort of an infinite loop, and it's very difficult, I think, for the CCWG and the co-chairs to untangle that. So hopefully everybody's okay with that approach, but if you have any objections, please let me know. The only other thing I did to this is divide it up into different pages because it was getting really hard to read. So each recommendation will appear on its own page, and I understand that's a little cumbersome, but and it's mainly just for drafting and review purpose. So hopefully, you know, thanks for bearing with me on that one. Okay, so let's this is the motion itself. And the motion, again, one of the questions I hope to resolve on Thursday very early at the outset is whether a motion is the appropriate vehicle or mechanism to proceed with sending our feedback to the CCWG. A couple of folks have asked, if we could proceed simply with just a letter, from myself and the vice chair saying essentially, we've discussed this on council and we've worked on this document and here's our position. And that's fine. I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other. But others have said that something of this magnitude, and because the whole process around CCWGs is still a little fuzzy, that maybe we should err on the side of formality and go forward with a motion, and that will, at a minimum, give us some baseline for future CCWGs and for the formal final recommendations when they come from this CCWG. So I'm fine, but let's get that on the table with the council on Thursday, and let's hopefully get that resolved in the first 20 to 30 minutes of our call, and hopefully not that long.
Yeah.
But here is the motion, and it essentially says, what we hopefully all read here is that this is our reaction to the draft report, and we formed a sub-team, we reviewed it, here's the table, and even though that this response is past the comment due, the close of the comment period, everything that we're referring to came in before the comment period, so that we believe that it should be treated equally. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, for the record, I think it's much better to go with a motion on a issue of this magnitude. A letter would just be from the chair and vice chair. A motion shows that this is the unanimous consensus position of all the different parts of the GNSO collectively. And I think we're going to need that kind of weight, given that some of our conditions and positions may cause some controversy, particularly on number 11.
Thanks, Phil. I think that's an astute observation. And I would just say that, even though I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other, it feels to me that if one person on the council, one counselor or one group that's represented on council feels strongly that it should be a motion, and that's the way we're going to have to go. It just feels like to do otherwise and to push for informality when there's a strong objection to that just seems improper to me. I don't know if you guys feel like I'm out of line there, but if we have to make a call, I think, there you have it. Okay, so... Yeah, and Mary's got a good point here about, we can also record the degree of support as well, unanimous, supermajority, majority. Okay, so let's, so the first thing we'll tackle is the format of the response, which hope to get that put to bed fairly early, and then the second one, we'll dive into the substance of the response, which is what we've all been bashing our head against for the last 7 days. We can just, I don't know if we want to dive into these individually. I think let's just kind of go over each one closely and see if it's approaching a state where you feel like we can tweak it a little bit and get it ready so that we can send it out to the full council list tonight so that the councilors have a chance, the ones who weren't on the sub-team have a chance to review it before Thursday. So just looking at recommendation number one, and just holler, raise your hand, stop me if I'm, running past you or if you have a comment or a concern. So number one here, the council support level was limited support with some opposition. And we think we have a fairly concise explanation here of what our concerns or qualifiers are. Ed, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Yeah, I believe the link was with recommendation number 11, not recommendation number 7.
I think you are correct here. And, was this on Paul's, or this was on Paul's list, wasn't it?
I don't know who did number one.
Oh, you know what? This is the one that we talked to. You're right. The one we went through last week, and right. I think... Lars, can you make a note that, Marika, I think this is a typo here. That's recommendation 11 and not recommendation 7.
Yeah. Phil here, my recollection is that numbers 1, 2, and 3 are the result of the last conversation we had and weren't assigned to any individual.
That's absolutely correct, Phil, and sorry, I forgot that. And Phil, also, you raised, I think, an important point after that, that that you were not 100% on board with some of the comments by staff. Do you remember what those were here on 1, 2, and 3?
I don't know if I said I wasn't on board. I just said that we should devote some time on this call to making sure that 1, 2, and 3 accurately reflected the viewpoints of all the constituencies and stakeholder groups, since none of us actually...
But you didn't spot anything... Okay, but there
no, I don't recall spotting anything that I thought was incorrect. I just wasn't sure that it encompassed the full scope of comments from all the different parts of the GNSO.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
But as we put this out for full council review, if people think we've missed something important that came from their constituency or stakeholder group, they can raise that before Thursday's call.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Ed?
Old hand, Sergeant.
No problem. Thanks. Okay, so then just moving into the comments for number one, clearly we're going to correct the link between recommendation one and recommendation seven to reflect that it's 11. This is about the balancing of the SOs and ACs and the effect that the recommendation would have on the role of the GAC. And I think that that essentially what our statement as a council was essentially saying that that if recommendation 11 changes the role of the GAC and the obligations of the board to respond to GAC advice, then we can't support recommendation number one, which elevates them to a part of the empowered community. So, okay. And then I don't know if it makes a whole lot of value to say, for further details, please review the SG&C submissions to the public comment period. I think you could tack that on to every one of these comments, so I don't know if it makes sense to put that as an overarching header, or perhaps in the other column, say, comments, derived from SG&C submissions to the public comment form, please see, you know, some kind of a link to that. Phil?
Yeah, I have some comments on the second sentence. First, on the referral to transparency, should we be more specific there? You know, so are we talking there about what's the word I'm looking for? Inspection rights, DITP, that kind of thing. Should we flesh that out? What we're talking about transparency? And also, I'm not comfortable with the wording that further on where it says what is required. It says, and a complete understanding needs to exist to ensure understanding. I mean, we need a different word than understanding, because using it twice just seems to confuse things rather than clarify them.
Yeah, it almost like a complete understanding of the difference.
Yeah.
Or differences. And you can take out all that other stuff. I don't know, Lars, if we're going too
fast.
And
the other model, you know, again, are we talking about single member model rather than, you know, other model? I guess I'm pleading for more specificity here to flesh out some of these terms so it's clear what we're talking about.
Okay. So what we're saying is transparency should be expanded to specifically reference right of inspection and DIDP, and that other model should instead say the single member model that was initially proposed. And then that other sentence needs to be cleaned up, where we say complete understanding of the differences between the single member model. Sound good, Phil?
Yeah, that's certainly better.
Okay. Lars, if you could capture that and, I'm assuming you're getting that. Green check, awesome, thank you. And then I just think we should strike this for further details, please review, because that is inherent or implied in every one of these comments. So whether we want to put that up at the top or whether we want to make note of that in the box here where it says comments and then say for further details, in, you know, like a parenthetical under comments. Okay. So moving then to item number two, again, this was a staff response or staff synthesis of our last call. General support here. Some concerns expressed in relation to time frames, which were not workable in practice, as well as the undefined nature of some aspects of the escalation and enforcement process. Anyone remember which aspects of the escalation enforcement process, if we can get more specific on that? And I hate to give Lars a scavenger hunt here, but perhaps we should go back to last week's call and figure out exactly which undefined elements of the time frames and the aspects of the escalation enforcement, so we can be specific here to Phil's point. Questions have been raised in relation to liability relating to directors that are removed, as well as the location of the ICANN headquarters in California. I think that we need to be as clear as possible here, as opposed to saying questions. I think we were all saying that all of our groups were in favor of ICANN headquarters remaining in California, not that there were questions about the location or the headquarters. So I think stating that emphatically here would make this a clearer document and give the CCWG something a little bit more meaty that they can sink their teeth into here. And then again, that last line is extraneous. Okay, just moving on here then to recommendation three. I think we have general support with some qualifications about the different bylaws. Here we specifically mentioned inspection rights must be included as a fundamental bylaw, and that was a condition in switching from the single member model to the designator model. I'm scrolling down here. Where are the articles to be treated like fundamental bylaws and articles of corporation? Can someone help me here? I don't remember that part of the conversation about the articles of incorporation versus fundamental bylaws. Anybody remember what we were, what track we were on with that? I mean, looks like we spent enough time on it that staff and, Marika fleshed it out here, but I want to make sure that everybody's okay with that. It's not ringing a bell for me.
So, James, this is Keith. I don't specifically remember that conversation. It may be that the language or the reference was pulled from the actual comments that were drafted by one or another stakeholder group or constituency. It's not ringing a bell with me either as far as the last week's conversation.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. Lars, maybe the action item here is to go take a look at last week's transcript when we discussed this and see if we can flesh this out a little bit more. I think that we've spent a lot of time discussing inspection rights, which is just there at the first sentence, but the rest of this, I think, needs to be a little more specific. Phil?
Yeah, I would hope maybe, or at least in a cover note to the full council when we send this out, these places where it says some think, this, some think that, or some of the opinion, I would hope that by Thursday's call we could get rid of some and hopefully achieve consensus on, fundamental positions that the Articles of Incorporation, are really as important as the fundamental bylaws and should be, changes should be treated the same way. So I think the some, it's true some constituencies or stakeholder groups raise these points, but I would hope that by the end of Thursday's call we can get rid of the term some and at least some of these recommendations and give it stronger. It'll make it stronger if we say this is the consensus view of the GNSO that on these points that we're raising. Because stating it as just some kind of wishy-washy, at least the full CCWG, with some uncertainty about how strongly we feel on some of these points.
I completely agree, Phil. I think that our goal today and Thursday would be to crystallize this and get rid of some of that squishiness. And note that if we have a recommendation, I think there's a recommendation later where all of the SDs and Cs, I think it's the one about human rights, as a part of the Workstream 2 effort, that the registrars were, in their comment, said something less than full support. And we were the only stakeholder group that said that. So, you know, let's call it out. And then when we get together on Thursday, if we have a vote, then the registrars kind of throw up their hands and say, well, you know what? Our position didn't carry. So this is the position of the GNSO, that, you know, we're on the wrong side of it, and that's okay. That's how it happens sometimes. That's why we vote. So, you know, I'm completely on board with you that we should be looking to purge this response of any of that ambiguity. Now, some of them may be a little bit trickier, and I certainly don't want to go too far on the other extreme where we have a group that feels like their concerns or their qualifications were ignored. I think that the goal would be to capture all of those and then say that if one group believes strongly that there's a condition in place before supporting a recognition, that the rest of the council can live with that, as long as it's not incompatible with the stuff they're saying. So, I don't, Lars, if that makes sense, I see you've got a green check mark there, but we're really abusing you today, and I'm afraid it's only going to get worse. So hang with us, man.
No problem.
Okay. But yeah, to your point, Phil, I agree, is when we say that someone, you know, that we should be moving towards unity or unified position, one way or the other. And again, that last sentence is extraneous. Recommendation 4. This, I believe, was submitted by Keith. And
no,
we have,
James,
general
I did.
No?
Phil, this is Phil. I did 4 and 5. Now, what I wanted to do, you know, that's 5, but there were quite a diversity of conditions that different groups wanted to put on their adoption. So what I did was pretty much cut and paste the key provisions from different stakeholder groups and constituencies and put them in here with the notion that, you know, knowing that this was too long, but that, you know, I didn't think it was my place to edit down or omit anything, and that we should have this, we should see what different conditions groups wanted and then think about boiling this down to something shorter. So this is 4 and 5 are not intended to be final language, but to help us in this conversation understand what different parts of the GNSO are looking for to get fully behind these two recommendations.
Okay, thanks, Phil, and I remember your message on that, and understand, you know, didn't want to gloss over anything or leave anything on the floor. I do think that you're right that we want to boil this down to something a little more succinct, but we can always refer them back to the actual text that was submitted in the raw comments to ensure that there's no that there are no omissions when we get to the conditions here. So let's unpack
just like I said, I note that some of the things in here are already in some of the ones we just reviewed, such as first bullet point is about document inspection rights, and that's addressed in one of the other recommendations. Second one is about addressing a potential liability and making sure that members of the community aren't exposed to legal liability or financial liability by exercising the powers. The third goes to the time frames, which was also brought up. So there's some, now that I've, you know, we've reviewed the earlier ones, I see there's some duplication within these bullet points of things we've already brought up and other recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Lars, are you seeing that there's opportunities, at least for these first three bullet points, to probably refer back to recommendations 2 and 3? Well, actually, 1, 2, and 3, and essentially say that our support for recommendation 4 is general support with some qualifications. Again, noting that there's concern about right of inspection, DIDP, the time frames associated with the enforcement, liability associated with removal of directors. And I think that, you know, in broad brushstrokes, starts to capture and emphasize and reinforce what we've already said, but also capturing some of the conditions that were laid out here. Now, I think we start to diverge a little bit when we get to bullet point number four here. I think that's something that's new that's not covered in the previous recommendations. Is that correct, Phil?
Yeah, I would say bullet point four, as well as five and six, are new conditions, not existing in previous recommendations we just reviewed. So one approach to consolidating this might be to decide on the first three bullets which recommendation they should be. There's no need to bring them up multiple times, but the latter three bullet points are new subject matter. They can probably be boiled down to some extent.
Yeah, I think here's a proposal, Phil, see if you can get behind this, is that we boil the first three bullet points down to a sentence that refers to our recommendation conditions on recommendations one through three and reiterate right of inspection, liability, time frame, and just kind of hit those notes again, and then immediately pivot to the new items four, five, and six, and boil those down a little bit here. I mean, I think we can condense them without losing any of the substance, essentially. I think that the fourth one we're going to have to have some discussions on the group. If we send a board member from the SOAACs, I think that, you know, this has come up on the CCWG as well, is what is the path forward for if all the other SOs and ACs want to remove the GNSO's board member, does the GNSO have a veto over the rest of the community? I think that was addressed in the CCWG, and then the flip side of that is who touches the NOMCOM appointees, which essentially have no sponsoring SO or AC. So I'm not saying we need to include that here, but I think we should be prepared on Thursday for when those questions are going to be raised. And I note that the three of you guys especially are much closer to the CCWG's work, or much more current on the CCWG's work than I am. So if you can be prepared to have that teed up, that would probably be really helpful. The fifth one refers back to disputes about DIDP and whether that those could be the subject of an IRP. I think that's fairly clear, and really kind of goes also back to the right of inspection, where if the DIDP request is rejected, that the IRP can be used as a mechanism to reconsider that request. And then the final one here is, I'm not sure I understand this. Recommendations further
As I cut and paste what other groups thought was important, I don't fully understand this one. I'm forgetting at the moment which group it came from. I'm thinking it came from either the NCSG or the NCUC, but it was important to them, and I just put it in verbatim so we could take a look at it.
Ed, I hate to put you on the spot, but does this ring a bell in your group's conversations? I don't know. Still have Ed.
This is Carrie. Ed has disconnected at this time from the audio.
Okay, that's unfortunate, but I know that it's probably fairly late for him. So, Lars, maybe can you highlight where this last bullet point came from, and we'll tee it up for our conversation on Thursday. So, yes, sir, Lars. Oh, green check mark. Awesome. And then the last sentence, of course, can be dropped. So that was the small one. Phil, the bigger one.
The next one, there was... where are we here?
We are on page 6, recommendation 5. This is the mission, commitments, and core values.
Yeah, people had, there were a lot of views on this about changing the mission commitments and core values. Why don't we just go through what I put in and you know, the...
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, the first point, number one, says that certain things have to be retained, which we're not asking for new things to be put in. We're saying these things must be retained in the final proposal, that we view them as really important. The second one says that is really about enforcement of contractual agreements, looking towards satisfactory drafting of the bylaws and implementing this, and that clarifying that the IRP may have invoked for failure to act. So there's a lot of detail on these separate points. Again, I wasn't sure how to boil this all down to something shorter.
Yeah, I don't envy that. Can I back up just a second, Phil?
Sure.
One of the things I don't like about item number two is it says the GNSO cautiously supports, and I know you copied that probably verbatim from another, you know, other group's comments, but I think that, you know, to that earlier, to your earlier point, I mean, that word cautiously is one of the terms we should be working to drive out of this document, right? We either support it or we don't, or we could say conditionally,
yeah.
I guess, instead of cautiously.
Yeah, we could say we conditionally support the revised statement subject to the following, and then just list the things we need to get forward behind it.
Yeah, so I think definitely changing cautiously to conditionally would be helpful.
Number three was about stress tests 29 and 30, and I'm not sure if this was IPC, but there were concerns there. Number four is about limited missions.
And again, on number three, GNSO is disappointed. Does that mean we don't support? I'm trying to phrase this. I want to capture this, but I want to phrase it in a way that it either is a condition for support or a justification for non-support. I don't know that. I don't know how to phrase disappointed. I'm not trying to steamroll anybody's opinions here. I want to try and put it in one of those buckets so that we can work with it. So maybe we just flag that and talk a little bit about it when we talk on Thursday. But
yeah.
But I think that you know, something along the lines, GNSO requires that clarity. Or further clarity be, you know, further clarifications on stress test 29 and 30, you know, to clarify how there are contract enforcement is how ICANN is essential in ICANN's fulfillment of its mission, something like that. I don't know.
I think it can be boiled down to just, you know, we want...
I think we lost Phil.
I can't hear Phil at the moment.
Can you not hear me?
Oh, now we hear you. You're back.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Yeah, I think that three, we can just boil it down to a statement that 20, you know, stress test 29 and 30 should be eliminated, and then see if that's a consensus view within council on Thursday's call. I guess, okay, moving on to number four, you know, basically it's going to be blown down to ICANN shouldn't into contracts or activities or pursue objectives outside the mission or core values. This is not asking for a change. It was someone wanted this to be emphasized as something that needs to be retained.
So the GNSO supports recommendations to or proposals that emphasize the limits to ICANN's mission? And it, yeah, I think we can probably compress that a little bit.
Yeah, and let me just ask, how are we going to, is based on this conversation, is staff going to take a stab at boiling all this down and presenting us with a new draft to look at before it goes out to full council?
Yeah, I think so. Lars, and then we'll put out an iteration on this list and then send it out to full council.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shirk work, but as you know,
no, but you,
James. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just that you and I and others, I know that Paul is en route and we're trying to attend this conference as well.
Right.
So I know. Yeah, Ed, you have your hand up, and Ed probably wants to go to sleep at some point as well. So go ahead.
No, my life is accountability, as is most of ours for the past 13 months. We got a bit of a problem with number 5, in that while the GNSO may be disappointed about the outcome for stress test 29 and 30, the NCSG is delighted at the outcome. And my recollection from Dublin is there were a few other groups on the CPH that perhaps would have been equally delighted. So I'm wondering if that is the GNSO position.
Number 3? Are you number 5?
Number 5, number 3, yeah.
Okay, condition number 3 of recommendation 5.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
Yeah, Ed, again, what I did here was go through each and every stakeholder and constituency comment on the entire proposal and pull out the key things that different groups. This is not supposed to represent a consensus position of the GNSO, these listing of conditions. It is a listing of things that are important to various parts of the GNSO, recognizing that, one constituency might feel it's really important and another one might be totally opposed to that position. But that's something we have to work out now in the full council meeting to see where the support really lies on these. So, this just intended to be a list of everything important that people raised in their comments.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
And to Ed's point, I think, though, Phil, is what we need to do is flag those incompatibilities, right? If we have one group that says we'll support this on the condition that stress test 29 and 30 are removed, and another group saying we support this on the condition that stress test 29 and 30 are maintained or retained, then that starts to look like non-support for that overall recommendation if those are deal breakers for two separate reasons, for two separate groups, then it looks like the GNSO can't reach consensus.
And we need to make this clear in what we send out that this is what we're doing, because if the other counselors from the NCSG read this and take it as a proposed GNSO position, they're going to be up in arms, and James, you're going to get lots of nasty emails, and we don't want that. So we should try to flag this in what we send out to the greater council, the larger council, that this is a point of dispute or contention that we need to resolve, rather than propose it as it is, as it could be read here, as a GNSO position.
Totally agree, Ed. And so what I'm recommending here is we flag this, item number 3. We have one proposal that stress test 29 and 30 are, being characterized as misleading and that they should either be clarified or removed. And then I guess further down, perhaps, where does the NCSG or where do the other folks who are supporting stress test 29 and 30 weigh in? Ed, is that further down in this recommendation or?
I don't think it's here. I don't think the NCSG actually commented on it because it was not it was considered to be a settled issue. So this is something that I believe the IPC is raising. It's important to them. But okay. I can tell you that I guess I can speak not so much on behalf of the NCSG, but as a point of information that if this were to pop up, if this were in the recommendation, if this were in the policy proposal or the third draft report, the NCSG would have come up vociferously stating that we support the decisions made with respect to 29 and 30. But we didn't do so this time because it was a non-issue. Because we believe it's been a settled issue.
Yeah, well, I think on an issue, an issue like this or the one James mentioned earlier on human rights, if it turns out that just one stakeholder group or constituency, has a position and they're a lot in the final record,
Here's what I propose of what we're sending out. Rather than stating the GNSO is disappointed, we can go back to the some are disappointed, or so it doesn't look like it, we're proposing a declaration on the basis of a few groups coming together on this, because as far as I know, there was only one group that mentioned this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but that's fair, Ed, but I think what we should do is we should leave the language intact because it gets rid of that squishy qualifier of some groups, like we were talking about earlier, but we should flag this for a broader discussion, and if it turns out that one group is, you know, off on their own on this, then this can would just simply be removed.
Okay.
From the GNSO support qualifications, and one or more groups may not be, and I think this aligns with what Keith put in the chat, one or more groups may not vote for it that way, but if it's a simple majority that the rest of the groups are okay with that, then yeah, I think that's how these things will start to crystallize. Okay, well, that's a good conversation. I think it's good that you flagged that, Ed, because otherwise I was just going to go right over it without, you know, without even detecting it. So thanks, and please also flag it again if you feel like we don't hit that note hard enough on our call on Thursday.
Will do, James. Thanks.
And I guess I have a homework assignment to go read stress test 29 and 30 again because I don't remember where we landed on that on the CCWG. To be honest with you. Okay, any other thoughts? We sort of touched on it. Let's restart here. We've got 15 minutes, and we've got to get through this one and some of the others, so I'm sorry for that. The mission must be limited. Any changes to the mission? I think that's a fairly widespread position that the ICANN should be limited in its mission.
Yes, point number six relates to the same thing. Five and six are similar.
Okay. So we can probably compress all of those into a couple of sentences about clarity on the limitations of ICANN's mission as is expressed in the bylaws and how it's how that would apply going forward. Support contingent upon further review of language to restrain ICANN from acting outside of its picket fence. So I think that's just reinforcing, using different language to reinforce the idea that ICANN shouldn't expand its own remit. There's no bottom to that well. Annex, look at number seven here. Annex 5 to the CWG third draft still reflects only general principles regarding the bylaws. So is this, and number eight is also about limiting the mission, and I think number seven is about clarity around the how the bylaws will be drafted, the language of the bylaws.
Yeah, and still speaking, my recollection is that a lot of this language was pulled from the very long comments from the NCSG, and I try to pull out what seemed most important to them. But a lot of this, all of these, seem to involve basically saying things and our ultimate judgment on the proposal depend on the specificity and strength of the actual bylaws that are drafted to implement.
Okay.
To boil it all down. Because a lot is about instructions to drafters.
Yeah, and there's like notes. It says notes to, what does it say here? Notes to the drafters. Yeah.
Yeah, same with 9 and 10. They're all about saying, you know, we're reserving final judgment until we see what the bylaws drafters come back with to implement the recommendations.
Ed, you have your hand raised. I don't know if that's, you want to weigh in on this or?
Yet another old hand, James. Apologies.
Okay. But I think, Phil, and I think, Phil, you're on the right course here, is that these are providing additional justifications and support for the idea that, these are still just broad principles and general recommendations, and we need to
the actual bylaw language before we can say we have reached a level of comfort to support these changes. So I get that, and I think that we can probably express that in a little bit more condensed language without losing some of this, as long as we continue to refer back to the substance of the comments. I'm worried about the time here because I do have a hard stop with another GNSO meeting at the top of the hour, so I'm just trying to drive through. Implementation language, I think, probably falls under the same language for item number 10. And again, about limiting the mission and preventing ICANN from expanding its own remit into content and other non-DNS functions. Number 11 is something new, and it refers to use of the global public interest veto over bottom-up consensus development policies carrying out ICANN's mission. And essentially, it looks like the board should be, that the bylaws should define this concept, or at least provide for the community to define this process, so it can't be a catch-all for the board just doesn't agree with this. I think we can probably express that in one or two sentences, number 11. And then the final one, number 12, we need to re-include the words of the DNS on the mission statement. And, you know, if we could have clarity on where we want to reinsert that, Lars, that would be good, because I think that some groups, well, hopefully that's not a controversial add, but let's make sure that that was an inadvertent omission and not a material deletion. So there's a lot in that one. They get a little easier now. I'm going to tear through some of these here and just raise your hand or hit me over the head if you think I'm going too fast. But I'm trying to get through the rest of these here. Recommendation 6 is limited support. This is about the human rights. And I think this is the one where it was generally support, the opposition coming from registrars that believe that diving into this issue now as part of a temporary bylaw change was premature, and that this could safely be considered a commitment in Workstream 2. Whether that's something I personally agree with as a registrar is not really the point, something that registrars signed off on. And again, to Keith's point earlier, if registrars are all alone on that, then this will have council recommendation regardless over one, the objection of one group. There's some other points in here, but I think that's sufficiently short enough, so I think we're good. Recommendation 7, independent review process, was also generally supported. We have a couple of notes here about clarification, details of implementation about standing and claims and failure to act. Chilling effect of loser pays. Look closer at that. And let's see. NSO does not sense any major showstoppers in this recommendation. Okay. Recommendation 8, I think, Keith, this was one of yours. General support for the reconsideration process for more information. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to raise something triggered by the end of the text on which recommendation is this? Sorry. On 7, we're in the last sentence. It says, the rest of the concern. Do we have an overall statement? I'm basically saying we expect to make a supplemental proposal that reflects this feedback from us. Should that be in the preamble of the motion rather than in, you know,
that we are
particularly recommend
that we.
Well, it seems like the overall effect of what we're going to. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, you were breaking up when you know right at the important part of your last statement.
Sure.
So if you could.
Yeah, it seems like rather than putting in one recommendation that we want to see the CCWG address these concerns,
that in the preamble of the motion, we should make clear that the clear import of the input we're providing is that we expect CCWG to take all these comments under advisement and to come back with a supplemental draft proposal. And I'm just suggesting we should make that clear in the opening that we expect that we need to see a final proposal, not the one we're commenting on.
Yeah, I think we can capture that, Phil, either in the intro up above or in the language of the motion where we have a couple of other whereas clauses. But we'll definitely capture that and then perhaps remove it from here, which essentially says, you know, that the GNSO expects that that issues and conditions raised here will be addressed in a supplemental proposal from the CCWG. Because you're right, it's kind of a blanket application to all of these conditional support. Okay, number eight is the recommendations. It looks like we have some general support here, but we have...
James, I can take this if you like.
Yeah, Keith, if you would. And I'm really just looking for, are these conditions for support or just additional supporting comments?
Yeah, thanks. I think these were supplementary recommendations. They were not positioned, at least in the staff summary document that we used, as dependencies or conditions, but that there was general support, and I think on this particular one, pretty strong support for the recommendations around the reconsideration request process. It did include some supplementary recommendations, including an independent party such as the Ombudsman should be able to review and advise the full ICANN board, as opposed to simply letting ICANN legal have that responsibility. And so there were a couple of comments on that, I think NCUC and NCSG in particular. And all aspects must of an RR must be completely transparent and fully communicated, and that the recommendation should also make clear that any inaction or action of the PTI would be within the scope of a reconsideration request process. So I took those in my reading as being supplementary as opposed to conditional. But, you know, the others may feel differently once we have the conversation. But generally, there was strong support for this recommendation.
Okay, thanks, Keith. That's exactly what we were looking for here, and I think that if we can... I think that that's probably... I mean, we'll look for ways to tighten this up a little bit, but I think that that's probably... A short enough summary. I think we can probably go forward with that. Bill?
Yeah, I'm fine with all these comments. I'm just, it's not an official BC position, but I'm just suggesting it here. We might want to add that the request for reconsideration responded to in a timely manner, and I raise that because a pending RR filed by the ICA, which is pretty much identical to one that was filed jointly by the BC and the NCSG in October, the board has not only missed the 30-day, target. They have, for responding, but we're going to be past the 90-day viewpoint. And at a certain point, if there's not a time of response, it's not a very effective accountability mechanism.
So for that third bullet point where it says all aspects of a reconsideration request must be completely transparent and fully communicated in a timely manner, or say fully and promptly communicated, something along those lines?
Yeah, it's just something that refers to timeliness of response because, if it's an important matter to some individual or some constituency or stakeholder group, and they get it into the board, there's a very short window for submitting it, and then the board does not seem to be under any sense of compulsion to even get close to this 30-day response time that they promise for the process.
Yeah, it starts to look like a pocket veto where they can just take a reconsideration request and sit on it indefinitely. So I totally I totally get you on that one. Okay, that's good, and I think we're capturing and going as we go along here. And we've got just a couple of minutes before the next call starts, and I think it's using the same Adobe chat room as well, so we may start to see others joining here. Limited support and some opposition for Recommendation 9 of incorporating the AOC into the bylaws.
Yeah. I'll go, James.
Opposition. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Keith. I did the summary on this one, so I'm happy to walk through it. Again, this one had a little bit more of some challenging concerns. Specifically, there were some recommendations that while they generally supported the incorporation of the affirmation of commitments, that there was perhaps a subset of the reviews that were not comfortable with, and specifically saying that the ATRT is one that should continue, but the WHO is review team was one that was called out by multiple organizations or groups, saying that the language around WHO is was negotiated in a bilateral manner between the U.S. government and ICANN, and that that's sort of an artifact of the past, and that that things related to WHO is should be the subject of policy development in a bottom up manner as opposed to sort of top down decision making. So that I think there was a clear desire for the WHO is review team to not be continued, or at least not continued in its current form. A call out for the ATRT to continue, and then it was a little bit silent on, on some of the others. I think let me just scroll down here. Yeah, so I mean, I think there were some recommendations here. It was I did not get the sense that anything here was a deal killer, in that these were supplementary recommendations. I guess they could be considered as dependencies or conditional requirements from the various groups, and I think we'll need to talk through that a little bit more on our call or on the list.
Okay, thanks, Keith. And I don't see how any recommendation that touches on the WHO is issue should provoke any controversy.
That would be a first.
Yeah. okay, and I'm just scrolling through the rest of the bullets here. Not support other AOC reviews and lax about. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think that's an accurate reflection of what we need to talk about on our call. So I'm hoping that we can not get lost in the weeds on some of these, because I think that there's definitely opportunities to. I mean, if we bring up the WHO is review team, I think there's a potential that we could spend an hour on that. And I'm hoping from this team especially can help me dig us out of that if we go off course.
So James, on that point, and this is Keith, on that point, and sort of reflecting what I typed into chat earlier, I think the key here is on the call, on the council call and on the list, as people sort of review what we've done here, is the real questions are, where are the differences of opinion on the particular recommendation so strong and commonly held across the various stakeholder groups and constituencies that we would be unable today to approve? And I think that that's the real important focus for this group and for the communication that we intend to send to the CCWG, is to really call out where we've got a problem and where we see as a supporting organization and chartering organization, where we see the deal killers. I'm with you in that if we get into, back and forth on issues or concerns raised by one group but not held by another in the GNSO, on our call, that we will go into the weeds and that we will spend a lot of time and not be constructive in our output. And again, I think to try to keep people focused on where do we agree that there's a problem, and to try to get a sense as to, where the deal killers might be if they exist at all. So I'll stop there. I know we're getting to the top of the hour.
Now, Keith, I think, it's really good, and maybe we can tee that up at the beginning of the conversation so that we can spot it coming and maybe head it off at the pass a little bit, because, it almost says that there's a couple of possible outcomes here. The GNSO supports a recommendation. The GNSO opposes a recommendation, and they did or mostly united in those positions. Or there's another possibility here, which is that you've touched on an issue where there is no agreement on the GNSO. Some support it and some don't, for a variety of different reasons. And the GNSO was split as one of the chartering organizations. So it almost feels like if we get to that point, and I think at least when we encounter things like this in the course of a PDP, you know, the status quo has some weight. And if there's not support to make a change, I don't know. It is something that I think we should tee up for our discussion because not everybody's going to get 100% of what they want, no matter how intensely they feel about one particular element of one particular condition on one particular recommendation.
Yeah, agreed. And this is Keith. Oh. And I think the question here is, as a supporting organization, as the GNSO, you know, we all may have different views, but the key is to, you know, what can we support and what can we not support as the GTLD supporting organization, right? The generic name group together, as opposed to, you know, having it devolve into, you know, again, back down into the stakeholder or constituency parts. I mean, all the views are very important, but, you know, we're at the point now where it's time to consolidate our position and to identify where there's a majority of support and where there's not. I think really our goal for the call on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And that's the challenges of having such a diverse stakeholder organization that other groups maybe don't face those similar challenges. So number 11. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, quickly get some clarification. When we say the GNSO will support, how are we determining that? By house, by, for example, here's a concern I have. The NCSG has come out opposed to four of the recommendations. Ordinarily, we would say, all right, if everyone else was in favor of it, that's fine. But as I understand it, if we're doing, each house has to be in favor of a recommendation. If the NCA voted with six NCSG counselors, it's no go, regardless of how the rest of the council felt. Is that an accurate depiction of how we're going to go forward in this?
I don't have the voting thresholds in front of me, Ed, but we're going to use a simple majority as the pass, no pass threshold. And the simple majority is defined one of two ways, which is, I believe, it's a simple majority of both houses, or Mary and Lars, maybe you've got this handy. The other option is supermajority in one house. I don't have it in front of me yet. I'm sorry. It is defined in the GNSO operating procedures that a simple majority, there's two ways to reach it. One is a simple majority in both houses, and another one is just kind of like overwhelming support in one house, like unanimity in one house.
I recognize that, but I just want to point out that the NCA, in terms of the getting the support in both houses, the NCA is going to become very important, and we should try to determine his views as soon as possible so we don't go into elongated conversations on Thursday on issues that pretty much are going to be resolved by voting. If Yule, for example, is not in alignment with the NCSG positions, we shouldn't be spending a lot of time in them on everything except 11, where the NCSG are outliers in the other three.
Right. Understood. And I think that that's something that we should get ahead of as quickly as we can on the call. And I'm already 6 minutes late for my next call. So I just want to look at number 11 quickly here. Number 11 is, this seems to be the only recommendation where there's a strong sense that the GNSO does not support recommendation 11. And primarily the sticking point is the raising of the threshold of the two-thirds majority for the board to reject GAC advice. And I think that this, I don't know if we need to even dive into this one. This is basically, we're sending a very clear signal, and I think we can maybe make it clearer that to the CCWG is that you're not going to be able to get, at least from this chartering organization, you're not going to get our sign off on this if this element is retained in the final report. And then I think we justify our rejection there very clearly. And then the one that I had, I got off fairly easy. was that we have general support of recommendation 12, and this is commitment to work stream 2, that there are some conditions here as far as that they the timing being approved no later than the end of this year, and that work stream 2 continue to be supported by staff resources and independent counsel, and that specifically include DIDP and whistleblower. And I think all of those are that's a synthesis of all the comments received. So here's some bits here down at the bottom. I'll let you guys read through those. I've got to jump, but I thank you very much for your help on this. And I think you know, we'll get another we'll bash against this a little bit more on the on our list, and then have the goal of sending out a refined draft. I hesitate to call it a final, but a refined draft for consideration to the council list here in the next 24 hours, so that we have at least some time to review it before our call on Thursday. So thanks again, everybody. I know this is pretty heady, abstract stuff, and I know that it's a lot of work, and I appreciate how everybody's done on this, especially stepping outside of maybe your own personal or group positions to try to capture everything that was raised by everybody in the GNSO. Appreciate that. Lars?
Thanks, James. Just very quickly,
I don't know if you're still speaking, Lars, but you went silent after the word quickly.
Oh, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Thank you, James. I was just wondering what the time frame for the updated drafting is. Obviously, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
But do you think it would be okay tomorrow morning, or do you need it tonight?
You know, I was hoping to be able to work on it tonight after dinner. So if that's
okay.
possible, that would be great.
Noted.
I know that if we send it out the first thing in the morning, then the Europeans are going to be already behind the eight ball. So.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, best you can. Thank you, sir. And thanks, everyone.
Thanks, James.
Thanks all.
Take care.